Judges, the book of Judges. When Brother Don called me about noon, and he said, "Pastor, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight." I had been reading this morning not only the text that I read to you on Sunday night concerning Gideon, but I backed up and was looking at Gideon's life, how that he was poor, how that he was just such an unlikely candidate to do God would have him to do. And I thought that's where we were going to be going tonight. And I guess about 5:30, I thought of this verse, and then God helped me to look across the page. If I have seen this before, I don't recall it. The last verse in the book of Judges, let me read the last two verses in the book of Judges. The Bible said, "And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence every man to his inheritance." Look at verse 25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." You see that right there? I've known that verse for years. I've known it was there. I've quoted, you know, that part of the verse, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes," down through the years in ministry. But what I never did was took that verse across the page and looked at Elimelech. Elimelech in Ruth chapter number 1 is actually doing that which is right in his own eyes. And beloved, I'll tell you something tonight. In our country and in this world that we live in, that's what a lot of people are doing. Amen. They're only doing that which was right in their own eyes. And what I'd like to do tonight is contrast in Ruth chapter number 1, doing that which is right in our own eyes with doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Beloved, in the end, I'll say this tonight, that's all that's going to matter, is whether or not we did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And it's a happy day in your life when you quit being concerned about what pleases or doesn't please others, and you're more concerned about what pleases the Lord. Because ultimately, we're going to stand before Him and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Amen? Now, let's look tonight, if we can. And I say this tonight. I saw a commentary. I didn't mean to say this tonight. But the Bible said there's no king in Israel. In the prayer request tonight, it was said we need a leader. Every country needs a leader. Every home needs a leader. Every church needs a leader. Amen.
Amen.
We need a leader. All of us need a leader. Every Christian needs a leader. And of course, our ultimate head is Christ. But there was no king in Israel in those days. And I heard a commentary, I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago, concerning leadership. And it was the best, I can't remember it all, but it was the best I've heard in a long time. And here's what the man said. He said, "Do real leaders in our country desire the office of president?" Think about that for just a moment. If God has given you those skills, and you know that God has blessed you, we've got some leaders in our country, but they'll run from the White House as fast as they can run. And I ask this question, do you blame them? I'm talking about the atmosphere. I'm talking about the cutting one another's throats and things of that nature. And he said this, he said, "I believe people want the position for the title and for the power instead of wanting to be a leader. Now, you can take that right on down the... Listen, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but that's why a lot of men are standing in pulpits tonight. It's not because God has made them a leader or called them to be a pastor or called them to be an under-shepherd. It's something they decided they'd do. They went off to school and studied to do it, amen, and they're going to make some money doing it. I'm telling you, it's different when God's in it.
Amen.
Personally, I believe leadership, listen to me carefully, is pushed up from the bottom. Does that make any sense? You think about what's going on in Ukraine right now. You think about that. How unlikely it is for a man that's been a movie star. By the way, does that remind you of somebody? Ronald Reagan. But what happened? People saw the need and other people gathered around and kind of pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And they were willing. Does anybody desire a statesman again? Does anybody desire somebody, beloved, listen, that would lead our nation as far as what's right in the sight of the Lord? The Bible said here in the book of Ruth, we see the last verse in the book of Judges, and I've never tied it together with the first verse in the book of Ruth, or the first chapter in the book of Ruth, but I want you to see it tonight. I'll give it to you. I want to take about 20, 25, 30 minutes maybe at most and give you what God's put on my heart. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. You remember one of the prophets, I believe it was, I believe it was one of the minor prophets that it said it wasn't going to be a famine for bread and it wasn't going to be a famine for water, but it was going to be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. By the way, beloved, listen to me carefully. It didn't talk about a famine for the preaching of the Word of God. Beloved, the Word of God's being preached in this generation, but how many are hearing the Word of God in this generation? The Bible said to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen. So when we hear with our heart, hear in the Spirit, then we want to obey what we're hearing. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts tonight. Encourage our hearts tonight. And Lord, break our hearts tonight. God, we need help. And Lord, I know that you know better than we know that we need help. Lord, the psalmist said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want you to see tonight, first of all, what happens when a man does that which was right in his own eyes. There was the first word that I penned down a while ago as I looked at this and prayed over this was the word desperation. There was a famine in the land. I want you to think as I preach tonight, teach this scripture tonight, I want you to think about what we've been going through for the last couple of years. And I want you to think about the people, beloved, listen, that may never be seen in the house of God again because of what's took place in the last couple of years. You see, I don't believe that the pestilence made them what they are. I believe the pestilence reveals what we are. There's a hunger in some hearts for the house of God, and there's a take it or leave it attitude in many hearts for the house of God. The Word of God said it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. It was a time of desperation. Yeah. If you haven't already figured this out, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. None of us knew what to do when this mess started. But I'm telling you, our government is not helping itself. They're causing more and more and more distrust among the people, because they stand with a straight face and lie to the people. Can I tell you something tonight? Our God will never lie to us. This book will never lie to us. Amen. I believe God is trying to teach us something tonight. Listen, we're not supposed to do that which is right in our own eyes. We're supposed to do that which is right in the eyes of God. Brother Rose, you sat right there when only 10 of us were allowed in this auditorium. And we came in here and tried to keep things going by just making a video so it could go out to the church. Many of our people drove by and put their tithes and their offerings in 5-gallon buckets in an hour window of time. To God be the glory. We didn't know what to do. And I'm going to tell you this. It became evident that a lot of what was going on in America was nothing more than political theater. A famine in the land. A famine in the land. A desperation. A time when Elimelech did not know where to turn. Let me say this to you tonight. Do you know what his name means? His name means, "My God is King." Elimelech should not have needed a king on earth, because his very name means, "My God is King." Amen? I'll tell you something tonight. There was a desperation. There's a famine in the land. I want you to notice, secondly, I believe with COVID there was a desperation. Many people lost loved ones. I mean, listen, to this day, how many of you all know that Pastor wanted to get in that hospital last week and see that baby and see that mama? Say amen. Amen. But to this day, there's stuff going on that makes absolutely no sense. I'm telling you, beloved, there was a desperation, a famine in the land. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. I want you to notice, secondly, the direction. Bethlehem, Judah is the house of bread. Moab is God's washpot. The direction in Elimelech's life when he's doing that which is right in his own eyes, listen to me carefully, I don't care how many gets mad at me tonight, it's taking them away from the house of God when they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. By the way, Brother Houston, I'm stopping right here in the middle of the message and requesting prayer for Brother Lynn Carr. I forgot that tonight, and I'm sorry. I talked to Brother John the other night. His daddy's very sick. Please remember Brother Lynn in prayer. But I'm telling you tonight, he's going away from Bethlehem, Judah, and he's going to Moab. He's going away from the place where God told him to stay and to the place where God told him not to go. You know where a lot of people are turning in this generation? To the world. Egypt. God is trying to show us something here. Moab is not the place to be. Just because things dry up, I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't know this already, you probably know it. Churches go through seasons. There's a season when it just seems like you come in the house of God and it rains. The blessings of God are falling everywhere. And there's seasons where it seems like you can't buy a blessing.
Amen.
You know what God's looking for? He's looking for somebody that'll be faithful. He's looking for somebody that'll say, hey, Lord, if it's raining, I want to be there. And if it's dry as a cracker, I want to be there.
Amen.
Because the house of God's where I belong. I want to be there. Listen, we're going to find out a little bit later in the story. I want to be there when the bread does come back to the house of God. The direction. Notice the decision. The Word of God said in verse number 2. Well, no, excuse me. In verse number 1, let's back up to there. They went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Maybe somebody will listen to this tape and get real good and mad at me. I hope they do. Listen to me carefully. A lot of folks was going to stay away for 15 days to slow the spread. And that turned into, help me, a month or two. And that turned into 6 months. And that turned into 15 months. I'm not fussing at them tonight, but I'm telling you, when you're headed away from the house of God, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're not doing that which is right in the eyes of God. You're doing that which is right in your own eyes. Help us tonight, Jesus. Help us. The direction. The decision. Let me give you something tonight. Look at the progression here. In verse number 1, it says sojourn. You know what that means? Just for a little while. We're going to take a break for just a little while. Take a break from church. Take a break from our Bible.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something tonight. Listen, it says a lot about our government when they deem the liquor store essential. And the church is not essential. You know what I believe? They don't know God's people. How many would say with me tonight, the house of God's essential? I got to have it. You say, well, you're the pastor. No wonder you got to have it. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. When I wasn't pastoring, I was still in the house of God. I need it. I need the fellowship. I need the singing. I need the preaching. The Word of God. I need God's people. Sojourn in verse number 1. Just a little while. We'll stay away just a little while. Look at verse number 2. Look down to the end of the verse there. The Bible said, and they came into the country of Moab. And what's the next word? Continued. Listen to me. We're going to just stay away from the house of God a little while till we see what's going on. And listen, believe me, early on our deacons will tell you, I'm right there with you because we had no idea what we was facing. It seemed like people everywhere. We was way too early. We was taking the precautions, strong precautions, before it ever got here. And then after we loosened up, it got here. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But listen to me. We have been blessed. We've been blessed. Brother Gary, not one missionary's been dropped. We've been blessed. God has met the needs. We've been blessed. But it's not because of those that did that which was right in their own eyes. They changed direction. Then they made a decision. I'm going to sojourn. Going to go down there and sojourn. Just going to stay a little while. But then the Word of God said there's a distinct decision. They continued there. Brother Junior, if you wanted to be, you could still be in Florida tonight. You went down there to stay a little while. What do they call y'all? Snowbirds? Is that what they... Boy, the cold weather comes and they just fly south. You say, Pastor, were you picking on them? No, I want to go with them. I heard the fishing's good. Brother Jim goes down there a couple of weeks every year. They didn't do real good this year, but he got some sun. Vitamin D's good. It's good defense against COVID. I think y'all ought to just send me on a month-long trip to Florida. Amen. Honestly, first time I ever went to Florida, my wife will tell you, when we got back where we could see a mountain in Chattanooga, I shouted. I ain't lost nothing in Florida. Amen. How you going to lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help when there ain't none? I guess you'd get out there on the beach, Brother John, and make you one. Sand dune. Amen. The decision is sojourn, continue, and here's what I'm afraid. I believe this is why God put this in my heart. Here's what I'm afraid, Brother Preston. Going to go for a little while. Then they made a decision to continue. And the next thing you know, I want you to look down at verse number 4. The Bible said in the end of verse number 4, they dwelled there about 10 years. People don't realize, beloved, how dangerous it is to get out of the house of God. The first thing you know, Brother Larry, a whole decade of your life is gone. Away from the people of God, away from the preaching of the Word of God. A whole decade is missing. I see desperation. I see the direction. I see the decision. But then I see this. You might not like it tonight, but I'm looking at it right here in the Word of God. I see death. Mahlon dies. Elimelech dies. Mahlon dies. Chilion dies. Oh, God, there ought to be something raised up in every one of us that says, God, don't let me die in Moab. Notice what the Word of God said. Turn with me to the book of James. Hebrews, James, then Peter. James said this, said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I want to remind you of something. James is not preaching to the barroom crowd. He's preaching to Christians. Look at the next verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I'm telling you, beloved, there's people that'll never be back in the house of God. They're as saved as you are and as saved as I am. And they're going to stand before Jesus ashamed. There's people that'll never be back that are lost. That'll would to God that have been in the house of God where the Spirit of God could speak to their heart through the Word of God. He's not limited to the house of God. But I'll tell you what Paul said. He said he chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm glad I had an old fire-breathing, leather-lunged pastor that I sat under. And the Holy Ghost brought me under Holy Ghost conviction. Yeah. Else I'd be still making the wrong decisions, headed in the wrong direction, living my life in Moab, dying away from God. The last verse in the book of Judges said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Desperation, the direction, the decision, and the death. But let's look and see what happens when someone does that which is right in God's eyes. It's right here. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 6. Then she, that would be Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. I want to ask you a question tonight. How many of you is glad that God allows U-turns? She said, listen, I've never seen this before, but what's going on in this verse is a whole lot like what's going on in the life of the prodigal son. He came to himself. He said, I'm going to arise. I'm going to my father's house.
Watch this now. I want you to see this. The word of God said here, she arose with her daughter-in-law, she might return from the country of Moab. For why is she wanting to go from the country of Moab back to Bethlehem? Watch this. For she had heard in the country of Moab. In other words, while she was in Moab, she heard that God had visited his people and giving them bread. You know what she's saying? This is a mistake. It would be a mistake for me to continue to do that which is right in my own eyes. God has a land. God has a people. God has some bread. And I'm going to get up out of this place and go where God wants me to go. The prayer request tonight, it's obvious that hearts are burdened. But I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. Don't you get mad at me. Judgment must first begin in the house of God. That's what the Bible said. It must first begin in the house of God. The first thing I wrote down is she heard. She heard good news from a far country. And he's glad for that day in your life when you heard good news. You can be forgiven. You don't have to go to hell. I shed my blood for you. The Bible said as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm glad I heard the good news. We sang the song tonight, Brother Ralph. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary. By the way, beloved, if that song and that message don't stir your heart, you ought to get in this altar.
Amen.
You're on your way to heaven because you heard that old, old story.
Amen.
And Jesus saved your never-dying soul. Picked you up. Picked me up out of Moab. Picked us up out of the muck and the mire. Set our feet on a solid rock. Established our going. Brother Junior, put a new song in our heart. Even praise unto our God. Every once in a while, you'll be thumbing through the radio stations and you'll hear a familiar tune. Something like sleeping under a table at a roadside park. A man could wake up dead. I'm still trying to figure out how you do that. I'm glad that when God changed my life, he changed my tunes. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Some of you can make melody in your heart, and all of us as ears can enjoy it. Some of us just have to keep it in our heart. Because we want to keep our crowd, amen? She heard. Secondly, she helped. You see, when a person is doing that which is right in God's eyes, they're listening, they're acting upon what they hear, but they're also interested in helping somebody else. You remember how that Naomi tried to talk Ruth out of going, and Orpah as well. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and she went back to Moab. But Ruth said, watch in verse number 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw, this is Naomi, saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her, and the word of God said, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. You see, Naomi knew the way to the house of bread.
Yeah.
Beloved, if you've been saved by the grace of God, somebody said this, that a soul winner is just one beggar telling another beggar,
where he found bread. I'm glad I found bread at Calvary. At the foot of the cross, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm glad I got a drink of living water at Calvary. I'm glad I know that I'm going to live forever because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Beloved friend, she helped. She's helping Ruth. I don't believe, listen, there's enough emphasis put on this in these days, beloved. We ought to love the house of God. But we ought to be helping somebody else to the house of God. You say, Pastor, I remember, I believe it was Brother Leonard Fletcher. He was preaching over at Homeland Baptist Church in a revival meeting. It's been several years ago. And he made this statement. He said, some of you preachers said you ain't going to have anybody with a tattoo in your church. That's what he said. He said, pray God, where are we going to find them without tattoos? That brings me back to my mind to that man in the prison that had those demons tattooed all over him, and he had been saved by the grace of God and was ashamed of his tattoos. It had to be the Lord. I'm not smart enough to think of what I told that man. I said, sir, I'm ashamed of my tattoos too. He said, what do you mean? He looked at me and he couldn't see anything. I said, I'm afraid sin tattooed me too. And some of those scars I'll carry to my grave. Is anybody home tonight? But thank God that's as far as I'm carrying them, Brother Larry. Amen! I've been forgiven. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You know it if you know what I'm talking about, beloved. The choices we make. I like what one preacher said. I don't know who said it originally, but it's a good quote. He said, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Think about that. You remember what David did when God laid three things out in front of him? I can't remember the three things right now. But anyway, David said, I'm just going to put it in your hands. That's probably the best thing to do. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. She heard. She helped. Watch this now. It's no less important. She humbled herself. Naomi's name means pleasant. But the Bible said in verse number 20, she said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. How many's ever bit into something that was bitter? Years ago, somebody taught me how to discern a white oak tree from a red oak tree. And the deer prefer the white oaks. If there's no white oaks, they'll eat the red oaks. But if there's a white oak tree dropping acorns, that's a good place to be in the fall. Because the deer love them. There was a year when I pastored in Wise, Virginia. I've never found a year like it since. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the acorns were roasted in the trees and then fell or hit the forest floor and God roasted them with the sun. But I'm telling you, the white oak acorns that year, I had my pockets full of them. I was eating them and they were better than cashews. That is the God's honest truth. I'd break them open, make sure there wasn't a worm, and go to town. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? You bite into a white oak acorn. That year it was like a great cashew, even better. But if you bite into a white oak acorn any year, it's got a green taste to it. Kind of reminds you of something strong in salad, just a green taste to it. But beloved, you bite into a red oak acorn and you'll pucker up. It's bitter. You won't be guessing if you bite into it. You won't be guessing. And this woman right here, Naomi, has humbled herself. She said, I went out full, I've come home empty.
My name is Naomi. I'm supposed to be pleasant. And here I find myself bitter because God had dealt bitterly with me. She humbled herself. She didn't come back to Bethlehem, Judah, trying to make all kinds of excuses. In so many words, she's saying, I was wrong. And really, it wasn't her responsibility. She followed her husband, and that's what she was supposed to do. But she's humbled herself. How many knows what happens when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? The word of God don't lie. God said He will exalt us. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be abased. But if we humble ourselves, God said He would exalt us.
Amen.
I want you to think about this tonight. Think about the life of Naomi, the life of Ruth. Number four right here, and I'm almost finished. I know it's a dangerous thing to say, but I am. She was helped. Listen to me carefully. When you're headed in the right direction, you're headed to the house of God. Not only are you going to be interested in helping someone else, but you're going to get some help yourself. You say, Pastor, how do you see that? Look in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, the mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came. You say, Pastor, what's going on right here? I'll tell you what's going on. The same woman, Naomi, has helped Ruth, and Ruth is turning right around now and saying, I'm going to the field. I'm going to get some bread. I'm going to take care of this thing, homie.
Yeah.
She's helping her. I'll tell you this. If you've walked with God very long at all, you know it's the truth. Brother Wayne, you can go into a hospital room. You can go into a jail cell. And you can pray before you go and say, God, I want you to help me to be a blessing to that individual. And Brother Wayne, 9 times out of 10, you'll be blessed more than they are. Just because you're doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Here's Naomi. And listen, the blessing's going to get a whole lot bigger than the field. How many's aware of that? Not only this, she heard, she helped, she humbled herself. She was helped. Boaz took notice of her out there in the field. How many's glad one day Jesus took notice of you out there in the field? The last thing in the message tonight, she was honored. You know what God does? He honors faith. You say, Pastor, how do you know that Naomi had faith? She heard. God's visited His people. There's bread back over there. I ain't got no business staying down here in Moab. My future's not in Moab. My future's in the house of bread. And she goes back. Let me show you this tonight, and I'm finished. Turn to chapter 4 and verse number 13. Chapter 4, the book of Ruth. I've went over time a little bit tonight. I apologize for that. I don't apologize for the message. I didn't mean to go over time. Chapter 4, Ruth chapter number 4. I'll stop and tell you something that Brother Brian told me one day. It's humbling. I preached that morning, Brother Rick, till 12:45. And I was with Brother Brian that week, and I said, Brother Brian, I was embarrassed. I preached that long. If I never move from where I'm standing. He said, Pastor, I could have sat and listened all afternoon. How many knows that man well enough to know that he wasn't just saying that? If God ain't in it and it's dry and dead, that's one thing. But if God's in it, it'll help us. I want you to see how she was honored, and I'm finished. Chapter 4, verse 13. The word of God said, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Shoo.
You think about that for just a minute. All Ruth wanted to do was go and be with Naomi. And you look at the blessing that God poured on her. But it's not just her. Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception. And she bare a son. I want you to see how God honored Naomi for leaving Moab and going back to the house of bread. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee." Boy, ain't that good. It wasn't beloved did something that Ruth had to say. Everybody that watched Naomi and Ruth said that girl loves her mother-in-law. Sometimes we don't need so many words. We just need to let people watch. They'll figure it out. It's better that he than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. Anybody know what his name means? Worshipper. It's come full circle now. Elimelech, my God, is king. And now you got a boy named Obed that's born, and he's a worshiper. Beloved, that's what we are to be, is a worshiper. The word of God said here, his name is Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. You say, "Pastor, how did God honor Naomi?" He lets her be the great-grandmother of King David. You think about that for just a moment. I'm telling you, beloved, now these are the generations of Pharez. Pharez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. And Solomon, he begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. What an honor. How many of you realize this genealogy where it's leading? It's leading to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many's glad you come tonight?